In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I have a truly fantastic conversation with Sally Illingworth, a strategic thinker and a calculative action taker who thrives in fast-paced and complex adaptive environments. Sally tells us about her really interesting background from starting in a pizza shop and working her way up in the food retail industry, to moving into management consulting and the world of digital marketing. The theme on the podcast this month is the future of work, and this is a really brilliant episode to kick us off. Sally and I discuss how her career progressed and why she believes that hard work and a willingness to learn can help anyone make similar changes in their career. We cover the skills that are needed in the future of work, including the importance of creativity and curiosity, as well as the challenges and opportunities facing businesses and organizations trying to attract and retain talent in this digital age. We finish our chat discussing the emerging trend of the speed at which jobs are being created and then becoming commonplace, as well as the challenge of balancing legacy systems and the need for employers to protect their brands with the trend of employees taking control of their career by building their own personal brands online. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the Smart Community, Smart Regions, Smart Towns, and Smart Cities. It's where we live, work, and play. Smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Sally. How are you today?
I'm good, Zoe. How are you?
I'm super excited to have you on the podcast. So, yeah, I'm feeling fabulous.
Yeah, I'm feeling good as well. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. It's going to be the best part of my day.
Oh, that's no pressure. Okay, well, let's jump straight in. And can you tell us about your background and what you are passionate about?
That's such a big question. I suppose my background is, I'm reasonably still pretty new in my career, if you like. But my background is, I got started in a pizza shop, actually. So I suppose that's my background from a career perspective. And I sort of joined the workforce. My initial mission was just to make some money and become somewhat financially independent, being the very headstrong, you know, I was very young when I moved out of home and all that sort of stuff. So that's where my journey started. And then it sort of accelerated quite quickly in the food retail industry. And I found myself, I suppose, achieving some pretty cool growth in my career. I've owned a pizza business, exited the pizza business. Now I do more management consulting and specialize in content marketing, digital marketing, and so forth. So I suppose my background has sort of extended across multiple divisions, if you like within business, you know, from like operations, training, project management, strategy, marketing, and so forth. So sort of put my finger in all sorts of different pies. And in terms of what I'm passionate about, I think passion's an interesting conversation because, you know, I know when I got started in my career, I didn't really know what I was passionate about, you know, apart from the fact that I wanted to become financially independent. And in the process of putting myself out there and trying different things, I developed a pretty keen passion to always get better, within myself. So highly competitive within myself. And I think that's what sort of really allowed me to accelerate my career in the way that I have. But now my passion has sort of extended to become much bigger than that. And I suppose with everything I do in a business sense or in my career, the passion behind it all is to really just sort of inspire myself, but also other people to really unlock their potential. Because, you know, I think traditionally speaking, you know, in education systems and so forth, there's a lot of societal conditioning around the fact that, you know, apparently our potential and our capabilities are predetermined because of the way things are so standardized. And I was one of the students at school that just sort of couldn't quite hack the school system, wasn't the best student, and didn't really fit into that context or into that system. So, yeah, I've developed this massive passion for just showing people that if you're willing to put in the work and commit and develop the stamina to do something, then really the world is your oyster.
Absolutely. So I was going to ask you, why are you interested in smart cities and communities? But actually what I want to ask you is, so the work that you're doing now, what kind of got you started on that? Obviously, we're talking about this passion that you have, but how did you even kind of get started in this kind of world that you're working in now?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because it sort of evolved in a very, I suppose, unexpected way for me. You know, like when, so when I got started in my career, I was sort of working, you know, at a really grassroots level in food retail. And then what happened is because I was so, I suppose, competitive within myself to get better, you know, and I wanted to earn every single dollar that I was getting paid, I developed this massive passion for getting better, right? Which obviously allowed me to accelerate my career. So then what happened is my career started branching out into different areas of business, you know, and different functions of business. So it went from purely operations to then sort of training work and then project work and so forth. So I think in that sense, what's happened over time is that as and when new opportunities have come up, is I've sort of just taken them going, well, what have I got to lose at the end of the day? And in a lot of cases, that's forced me to really always be outside of my comfort zone and always be trying something new. You know, I'll never forget, for example, I was 16 when I got, and I was only sort of 4 or 5 months into my working career, and I got asked to write training programs based on the work that I was doing. And so I think it's things like that where I realized that every single time I put myself in a scenario where I wasn't 100% sure I could deliver, but I knew I was committed to doing my best. What I realized over time is that I can do this. Like if I can commit and then follow through, and you're not always the best at everything, but really put myself in uncomfortable positions and prove to myself that just because I didn't have the skill set, well, if I put in the work, I can go and develop it. You know, it made me realize that there's a lot of people, I think, who probably deny themselves of opportunities and all that sort of stuff based on their fixed mindset or their predetermined biases or what someone else has told them. So I think what I do now, like a lot of what I do now is, as you probably know, is through things like LinkedIn with personal branding, content marketing, content creation and so forth. And that all simply came about because I started putting myself into that zone of discomfort to challenge myself and see if I could figure it out. And there you go. I like, you know, figured it out. And now I get to help other people do the same thing. So if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you kind of, you put yourself in that, I don't know, the situation of kind of going, okay, or someone asks you to do something and you don't know if you can do it, but you just say, well, yes, I want to develop that skill or kind of got some things there. I just kind of need to piece them together. And you just say yes, because, you know, what's to lose essentially. And then once you can develop those skills, you've had to kind of do it yourself. And now you're sharing that with other people because you go, well, if I could do it, without sounding too cliche, if I can do it, anyone can. But actually you, what you share, I think, is kind of insights into not just saying, you know, oh, if I can do it, you can too, but actually sharing the insights in the work that you had to do. I think that's the key, the work that you actually have to do. You can't just go, oh, yeah, I can just do this or whatever, but you've done a lot of work, right, behind to actually, you know, I think that's what stops people. First, that disbelief that, okay, well, I'm an engineer, so I can only do these things, or I make pizza, so I can only do these things. But then deciding to do the work and then actually doing the work also is really...
And I think, you make a really good point that, yeah, that the work you've got to put in, because I think that's one of, you know, probably one of the most common things that discourages a lot of people is, you know, there are unfortunately circumstances where people get sold dreams, if you like, you know, like, oh, you know, do this and this is going to happen overnight. And, you know, like, and they don't talk about the work. They don't talk about the stamina required to do something. And then what happens is, you know, people spend money or they put time, effort, emotion into things. And then this massive life change or this massive career change that they were sold doesn't actually happen. And then so they become discouraged and go, well, I'm not even going to bother trying. So, yeah, I think it's really just about getting people to realize that they're committed to something and they have an interest in really pursuing something and learning something, that provided they're willing to meet someone or something halfway and put in the work that's required on their end, that they really can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what I love about getting people on this podcast is I get, you know, so many different people with different perspectives. And I guess what I really want to talk to you about is the future of work, because, and we were just talking about it earlier before we pressed record, but like, you know, the jobs that we currently do now didn't exist even maybe 5 years ago, let's say. And we're talking about this smart community thing, and that you asked me, you know, what does it mean to me? And really it's about like
having a look at these trends and things that are actually happening and what are the things that we need to put in place so then people can really step into this new way that we're going to be working or that we're already working and how to kind of embrace that and do those things. So I guess I'd love to ask you, what is a smart city to you? Do you have any kind of thoughts about, do you think about it at all? Like, you know, obviously not being directly in this space, but is it a term you've heard flying around and what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is certainly something I've heard of, if you like, and there's sort of two things that sort of really give me a little bit more perspective than I would have otherwise had on the conversation. One is I, a couple of months ago, did a keynote at the World Forum for Foreign Direct Investment, and it was actually on the topic of the future of the workforce with a specific focus on talent retention. Because, you know, there's a lot of things, like you just said, you know, there's a lot of jobs now that didn't exist even 5 years ago. And I think with things like technology, it's causing a lot of fear for a lot of people because they're like, you know, what's going to happen? All the jobs are going to go, and then we're going to have this massive unemployment issue and so forth. And then the other thing that provides me with a bit of perspective from a tech side of things is with a friend of mine, an associate of mine, I recently have been contributing to a white paper on the topic of 5G AI-enabled automation. So I suppose from those two angles, I got a little bit of perspective on the workforce side and then from the tech side as well. So I think what I've realized being involved with some of those initiatives is that to me, a smart city is where we use tech to enable certain things to take place and to elevate quality of life and quality of business and so forth in certain ways. And I think you used a really good word before, which was sustainable, because I think particularly with technology coming into play, which is really what enables smart cities to be built, is there's a lot of, I suppose, fear around the fact that technology is leading the way or technology is in control. But I think if you can get the right brains and the right people together to really create smart cities, that's when humans remain on the forefront of it, right? And humans remain in control. And, you know, in that case, they can actually ensure that smart cities improve the quality of life, because that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day, is particularly from like a macroeconomic perspective, is everyone just wants a better life, you know? And so I think from a smart city perspective, for me, it would mean finding ways to use technology to integrate and connect certain aspects of our day-to-day lives, which involves business and our careers and so forth, to make things easier for us and to make things better for us. Because I think from a large perspective, a macro perspective, if you look at it, ultimately a lot of what we want when it comes to tech and all that sort of stuff and innovation is anything that's going to help us preserve energy, you know. And I think if we can use technology in the right ways to build smart cities, that allows us to preserve energy, which serves us as humans and hopefully unlocks a lot of potential for us to improve the quality of life and business and just everything we do on a day-to-day basis. So for me, yeah, I think smart cities come down to connectedness, integration and so forth, which requires ultimately collaboration between humans as well as technology. It's not like a one-sided thing.
Absolutely. And I like the idea of preserving energy, because you can kind of take that from the human perspective, but you can also take that from like an environment and sustainable perspective as well, you know, with resources and things. We can't just keep burning energy on, you know, these things, and the world can't keep burning energy. But from a future of work perspective, I think you're so right. And I guess focusing our energy on the things that are actually going to improve our quality of life. And whether that's through more income, more days off with your family, flexible work hours or whatever it is, or working from home, those type of things. What are the skills that are going to be more important now, more important in the future than they are now with the perspective of future of work?
I'd certainly have to say, I don't know if creativity is the right word, but it's probably the most generally understood word to describe what I'm referring to. But yeah, I think the ability to think creatively, right? Because like, for example, in the recent keynote I did, which was on the topic of the future of the workforce with specific reference to talent retention and essentially how governments are using technology to improve the workforce, grow the workforce to the benefit of everyone. And you know, I think one of the biggest things I touched on is particularly when you consider the rise of technology, you know, obviously there's a lot of fear that, you know, there's this robot apocalypse coming and so forth, right? So a lot of people feel uncomfortable with the idea of what the future of the workforce actually looks like. But I think what the technology is actually going to allow us to do when it comes to the future of the workforce, and where humans really are uniquely positioned if they embrace this, is that no technology really is going to be able to completely replicate or emulate the creative thinking capabilities of the human brain, right? You know, because if you think about, as a human, we have the capability to put things into context and, you know, connect, I suppose, diverse things and dynamic things in ways that aren't so straightforward for a machine to replicate. So I think we're going to see more and more over time is that the more mundane jobs that are really straightforward and quite logical, if you like, they will start to become augmented or automated or made completely redundant, and the human won't be required to do them anymore. So I think the best bet we have as humans is to really harness the power of our ability to think creatively, because I think that's where the future of work really sits, which, although it's scary for a lot of people, you know, especially if right now you do a mundane job that could be automated or augmented or just made completely redundant, it is a scary thought. But I think what it actually allows us to do from a macro perspective, provided the change is managed correctly at all levels, you know, at a government level, industry level, private sector level, and so forth, is that it actually allows us ultimately to completely upskill our entire human workforce when you think about it, you know, because we're freeing up time and space and energy for humans to focus on higher value tasks that a machine can't possibly do and won't be able to do in your lifetime or my lifetime. So that's where I sort of really see it going and the value really sitting from, yeah, a human workforce perspective.
Okay, well, let's flip around to, so I'm a business owner or I'm a government agency. How do I, one, attract the talent and two, keep the talent?
Yeah, it's such a hard question. You know, I think what's becoming more and more important is, you know, if you think about digital, for example, and the digital world we live in, what's happened as a result is we are more connected than we've ever been before. And we're also more informed than we've ever been before. I wouldn't say necessarily that we're more intelligent than we have been. You know, I think there's sort of an interesting sort of paradox there where because we have such ease and speed of access to information, we're not encouraged to retain as much information as we were once were before. But in terms of attracting talent, I think it's become highly competitive, you know, for companies of all sizes, of all types, in all different industries. Because if you think about the general job seeker or general worker, you know, they have visibility and access remotely to opportunities across the globe now. Geographical constraint is no longer really an issue. So in that sense, a lot of power has been given back to the job seeker, to the employee, to the worker, because, you know, they're not limited to the constraints of looking for a job in their local neighborhood or in their city. They could go onto a platform, as ridiculous as it sounds, as, you know, LinkedIn or Facebook, and be exposed to job opportunities across the world. So in that sense, I think there's a lot more pressure on employers to really put in the work and figure out what differentiates them in the market and why would people want to work for you. Because, you know, you see, I suppose, legacy issues where your large companies, for example, like been around for 40, 50, 60, 100 years, typically speaking, they were really the ones that everyone wants to work for and so forth. But that's not really where all the power sits now. And I think what's happening is, in light of all of this competition and exposure to so many opportunities, people are actually looking to connect with people more and not brand names or business names. So I think from a company perspective, yeah, like you've got to get really clear what differentiates you and why would someone want to work with you, especially because inspiration and aspiration, I think, have become more influential in today's landscape, you know, when people want more fulfillment and meaning from their jobs. And that's reflected in retention rates, essentially. Like, no longer are people working at the same company for 40 years anymore. Like, in our lifetimes, that's not really going to happen. So, yeah, providing people with fulfilling careers. And then in terms of retaining, I think identifying that you need to always be value-adding to someone's life as an employee, which comes back to the first piece of the puzzle, because if they're not obtaining fulfillment from you, there's not always going to be alignment, right? Like, sometimes people are going to take on jobs and they're just not aligned with the company, or the company's not aligned with them, or it just doesn't work out and they need to move on. But in terms of retaining the talent that you want to retain, I think it comes back to the first piece, which is, why does someone want to work for you? Why would they stick around? You know, why would they bother? because I think the other pressure that organizations and businesses have to deal with is that in a world where we as individuals are so privy to what's going on in someone else's life, it causes a lot of pressure when you see things where people are comparing the insides of their life to the outputs of someone else's. So in that sense, as individuals, as employees and as workers, we're looking a lot more for instant gratification. Our expectations are a lot higher. And that incidentally puts a lot of pressure on companies and businesses to make sure that they're delivering and really providing people with fulfilling employment. So I think that's probably what it comes down to, is fulfillment. Yeah, how much fulfillment can you actually provide someone with beyond a paycheck, beyond things like annual leave and your standard benefits? People want purpose in their work, and that's becoming more and more obvious, especially younger generations, right? You know, they want purpose beyond profits. It's like it's more important than it's ever been before. And that puts a lot of pressure on businesses, and it's hard to manage, I think.
Okay, let's talk about some trends. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on what do you think the emerging trends are that people aren't talking about enough?
With the concept of smart city specifically, or future of work, or?
I think future of work, you'll be able to provide, yeah, the most insight, yeah.
I think with trends, one big one I'm seeing that I think is still, you know, there's still not that much certainty around how we actually manage it or what it actually looks like for the future, but is the topic of personal branding. So, you know, and a lot of this is influenced by the digital arena, by social media and so forth. But I think what we're finding is that, you know, and this sort of goes back to what we were just talking about, is a lot of people want to give their career a lot of purpose, you know, and a lot of meaning, and they want fulfillment from it. And it's not just about a paycheck anymore. And to put it really simply, everyone wants to be someone. And a lot of people are wanting to showcase that online. They're wanting to build their own community. So I think what I'm certainly seeing as a growing trend is this really interesting challenge where, in a world where everyone wants to have a really strong personal brand online, you know, alongside their career, not necessarily to build their own business, but to just really be recognized and contribute to a community, to an audience based on what they know and what they're good at, but they still want to be employed by someone, is, you know, how do you manage that as an organization? Because particularly if we consider legacy issues whereby, especially large corporates, they have these massive social media policies and so forth, where employees are really constrained to have their say or vocalize what they think and really put themselves out there. And it's a big challenge. But going back to the core of, I suppose, the future of work, where people want purpose beyond profits and so forth, and a lot of people want to and are willing to do that through their own personal brand, it's a big challenge. So I think what I'm seeing more and more, and I think it's going to become a more prolific conversation in the future, is how can you really harmonize that balance between employing someone but allowing them to have the freedom to really own their career and build their career beyond their job with you as the employer? I think it's a big challenge. I don't think anyone's found the perfect balance, so to speak. And I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that how do you as an organization, as a business, as a company, I suppose, sustainably and smartly embrace the fact that people aren't going to work for you for 20 years. That thinking is gone. It's very rare that you'll find that, particularly with my generation and so forth. So that's a difficult problem for companies to manage. So how can they attract talent where talent come to them, they contribute to the organization, but they get to still build their, you know, and really own their career at the same time? And how do you manage that as a business, knowing that they're not going to be there for 5 years, you know, or 10 years or 20 years? And I think it's this really, really big challenge. And a lot of it just comes back to the fact that there's been a massive power shift. Thanks to things like social media, there's this huge power shift where the power no longer sits with the people with millions and billions of dollars. Everyone has a voice and everyone has the ability to really own what they do. So this power shift is causing a lot of challenges for companies, but employees as well, because if they feel like they're constrained in legacy issues, in age-old thinking, well, then they're not satisfied at their job, even though it's only one micro element of their employment experience, but they feel like they're constrained, which is detrimental to not only them and their well-being and their sense of fulfillment, but it's also detrimental to the businesses, because the businesses can't manage that. You know, they can't retain talent because of legacy issues. So I hope, yeah, I don't know if that makes any sort of sense, but it's certainly an emerging thing I'm seeing, and it's this big, big challenge for people, both employee and employer. And I think it's going to become a more important topic of conversation is how do we harmonize that and, yeah, really allow both employee and employer to really own their story, their career, their contribution to society, to business and so forth.
That's a really interesting one and something I've been thinking about, particularly if you're working for a government agency. We've seen some things come out lately about people going out on social media and, you know, consequences of that. And what is the right balance? Because if you're working for a company and just say, you know, you've just taken the job and your values don't align, and then you're talking on the complete different tangent to what that employer's message is and that type of thing, it's definitely a challenge in this space. And particularly if you're talking about things that potentially could impact the work that you do or vice versa as well.
100%. Yeah, it's a massive, massive challenge. So I think what we'll see is more demand and interest around that conversation. And I think a lot of it just comes down to, one, managing expectations, and two, a lot of it is just managing change. You know, like how do you, as, for example, a well-established business or maybe even a new business, but how do you manage that change and how do you, coordinate that and make sure that it works in harmony with you as the business, as the organization? And the employee, whilst obviously protecting your own brand equity and your own, I suppose, relationship with the public and so forth. Because, yeah, you're exactly right. Like, you know, I could be employed by a company, for example, and they may endorse that I'm allowed to build my own personal brand at the same time to benefit my career from here on out, because they've accepted that I won't be employed by them for the next 20 years or 40 years. But, yeah, what if I say something that they're not quite comfortable with, and then someone in the public deems that I'm speaking on behalf of the organization, you know? And that's, yeah, where it becomes a massive sort of public relations issue. So I think, yeah, we'll see more demand around that conversation and that sort of strategic advice for people and for employers as to how to manage that.
Yeah. And you know, it's a job, right? That's a new job. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting, because even I was thinking about social media strategists and, you know, these are normal jobs now, you know, that people build a career out of, that didn't exist even, I would say, I mean, 5 years ago, you know, you wouldn't have heard of it. But now that I'm in the online business world and even podcasting, podcaster and podcast production, and it used to be quite small, whereas now it's big business, I think. It can be big business, because also it's not just anyone random having a podcast. You've got big players having podcasts and big corporations having podcasts and all that type of stuff as well.
But I think, you know, you make a good point with that. And I think that goes back to sort of what we were discussing earlier in terms of, you know, I suppose what, when it comes to the future of the workforce, what's going to be most important for humans, right? Like, and so, for example, I believe it comes down to creativity. And so there you're talking about the speed at which jobs have become being created and then becoming commonplace, right? And so I think that sort of goes back to, yeah, the original part of the conversation. And because, you know, I suppose in the, especially in the startup landscape, you know, innovation is always going to outpace regulation. And that's always been a challenge. So I think on that conversation as well, based on what you've just said, well, the podcasting industry, yeah, it's big business now, you know, and it's commonplace for people to have podcasts. And I was speaking to someone the other day and they're called, you know, they're building a core business in the US where they help small to medium enterprises set up a podcast and provide them with strategic advisory on that. I mean, 5 years ago, that didn't exist, you know? So, and there's demand for the skill set to be able to look at those jobs or those tasks that are becoming commonplace where they once weren't before. There's demand there as to, okay, well, can you think creatively to, yeah, help people incorporate those things into their business? Because, you know, even a lot of people now, they're still struggling with, well, how do I incorporate social media or social media advisory into my business? Because no one can really keep up with the speed at which things are evolving and becoming commonplace.
No, absolutely. And I really think that we've just created a couple of jobs there so people can, you know, apply for those. But yeah, they just keep happening, right? And I mean, it has stuff to do with technology, but you don't have to have deep, super technical skills to do these things. They're creativity, exactly like you said.
Yeah.
Oh, so awesome. Okay.
I know, I'm excited for the future.
I know. No,
I love the uncertainty of it all. It's like, oh, what's going to happen? You know, how are we going to navigate this?
No, me too. Absolutely. And I think that the creativity is important, but also I think, you know, what we're talking about there is the curiosity. And I think that's really key as well, because when we're moving into this, or I mean, even now, like it can change tomorrow. Like someone's just like, oh, hey, Zoe, can you do this? And I'll go, oh, that sounds really interesting. Like, what questions can we ask about that? Rather than, I guess what you were saying before, where it's just like, oh, no, my skill set is this. I'm an engineer. I do this or whatever it is, you know, and just say, yeah, okay, cool. Let's try that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like curiosity is very, very important. I believe, you know, it's probably a really good way to describe it, is that probably the most curious people about how things are changing and whatnot will become really integral, you know, from a strategic perspective in terms of how a lot of this change due to tech, due to, you know, changes in the workforce and so forth are managed by organizations, because you need that curiosity, right, to try and solve a problem, you know, or a challenge and so forth. And then once you've got that curiosity, you need to be able to then obviously through the curiosity go out and obtain information, assess things, analyze things and really understand something. And then I think, you know, on top of that, you need the creativity to be able to then connect the dots and try and find a solution. So maybe they're the skills of the future, curiosity and creativity.
There you go. You've heard it here first. No, I love that. I think I've just been thinking about this while you've been talking as well, the curiosity piece. No one actually knows. Do you know what I mean? Like we're searching for this, oh, someone, you know, a mentor or whatever, they can help you get there, but it's all about them asking questions of you and you answering them or whatever. But no one actually knows what this future is going to look like. There's several of them now, but the only way we know is by getting involved in shaping it, right? And whatever skill set you have, oh my God. Anyway, okay.
I know we could talk about this for hours.
We definitely have to have another conversation. And I don't even want to wrap up this conversation because it's been so amazing. I'm having so much fun. But I guess we better do a wrap. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. And I'm really looking forward to our next conversation.
Likewise. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And we'll have to meet face to face in the same place at some point, which I'm sure we can arrange.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for having me, Zoe. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. I really only have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
LinkedIn is the best place, or sallyillingworth.com. But LinkedIn's probably the most, I suppose, collaborative place. And catch me in the comments. Usually that's the best way to go about it.
Yes, that's where I see you most. Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. And yeah, I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, Zoe.
Talk soon. Bye.
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 Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community or find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter @smartcompod. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears, so thank you in advance. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.